Share Care, helping you get younger, get guidance, get better care, get smart, get fit. Radio MD presents Share Care Radio with Daria Long Gillespie, MD.
Welcome back to Share Care Radio. As a new mom, one subject that is near and dear to my heart is raising healthy kids. So I have here with me Dr. David Hill, a pediatrician and fellow parent. Dr. Hill is the author of Dad to Dad, Parenting Like a Pro, and vice president of the Coastal Pediatric Associates in Wilmington, North Carolina. He serves as an adjunct assistant professor of pediatrics at the UNC School of Medicine and has contributed articles on child health to Parents Magazine, Pediatric News, and NPR's All Things Considered. Dr. Hill, it is great to have you on the show. And although my little girl is less than a year old, like many new moms, I'm already worrying about how I can encourage her to make healthy choices as she grows. And I know you have some good ideas on that. So first off, help me help my little girl be better about nutrition, and how can I encourage her to make healthy choices as she gets older?
Well, you know, Daria, you are in a great age right now because you think, well, she's 12 months. You know, she's not even 12 months. I'm making all of her choices for her. How can she be making healthy choices? But what you're doing right now is setting up a situation for success where she can continue to make healthy choices. There are a lot of things that we do for infants and toddlers that help set patterns that are going to continue throughout life. For example, I think about what sorts of things she's learning to eat right now. And by exposing your daughter to a lot of different flavors at this time, then those are things that she's going to be used to and enjoying. I see a lot of kids at this age who are already starting to restrict their appetites, especially in the toddler phase. Toddlers are very distrustful of new foods in general, which is probably a good idea because they can walk around and pick up stuff off the ground, and Lord knows what they would put in their mouth and swallow. So I think it's a very good thing that they distrust new foods. But it's easy to sort of follow that distrust, and suddenly you get a kid who eats only chicken nuggets and macaroni and cheese. And so the things that you're doing right now make a difference, which is introducing healthy foods, making sure that there are lots of different fruits and vegetables and maybe some challenging flavors, you know, maybe some ethnic flavors, maybe a little bit of spice. Not a lot of salt. We don't want to give kids lots of salt, but just some different flavors so that when she does hit that toddler phase and sort of shut down to new foods, she's already got a really good basis from which to start. And that's something that we can continue. As our kids get older, they love to have choices. They love to have a say. And I've got a lot of kids who don't love vegetables or don't love fruits. And by the way, the dietitians don't really care whether something's a fruit or a vegetable. They skip that whole tomato argument, right? Is it a fruit? Is it a vegetable? The answer is, as
your dietitian, just get them to eat it.
It's a plant and it's not a potato. So they're pretty happy with it. You know,
but what
so
do you do?
Take them to the store with you. Let them pick something that looks good as they get older. Let them pick a recipe. Say, hey, there are three things I'm thinking about making for dinner tonight. Which one would you like to make? And then they feel a sense of ownership. And when they do
really
that,
give them a choice.
They're less likely
like
to reject.
Yeah. Well, that's another thing. So you hand them the healthy foods and put them on their plate, but they still may reject it. What do you do? And a lot of parents I know give up and say, I tried to, but they wouldn't. So here's the juice and the Cheerios. What do you do when they're at that rejection stage to get them to actually eat something that's healthy?
Right. You know, one of the keys is reintroduction. It is unfathomable how many times you have to introduce the same food to a distrustful toddler before that child will accept the food. The studies have shown about 10 or 20 times, and I've gone through this as a parent. Boy, have I done it. Where, you know, about the 10th time, you're about ready to give up. This green bean is never going over. It's just not going to happen. I'm never bringing back green beans again. But that's kind of when you want to redouble your effort and bring it back again and again, because it's really
quickly on
the
that,
repetition.
Then.
Right, exactly.
How long do you wait? I gave them the green beans last night. They hated them. Do I wait 2 days? Do I wait a week? How long do you
wait? You know, I don't know if there's a rule, but just don't write it off the list.
Okay.
You know, it can come back the next day. It can come back 2 days later if you've got them in the Tupperware. You know, reheat them. Try again. As long as it's within a safe interval, of course. Exactly.
All right.
Keep trying.
Great. Now tell me. Go ahead.
Yeah. The other thing, parents get very anxious that if the children don't eat this meal, they're going to starve. Or if they don't drink in the next hour, they're going to get dehydrated. But toddlers don't work on an hour-to-hour, meal-to-meal kind of schedule. It's more of a week-to-week, you know, day-to-day kind of thing. And one thing that I try to do for parents when they come is to show them the growth curve. And your pediatrician or family doctor, whoever is following your child, should easily be able to show you how your child is growing. And most of the times, that's incredibly reassuring. Once you see that your kid's weight is fine, it's in the same range it's always been. If you got a skinny kid, they're probably still skinny. If you got a kid who's not so skinny, they're probably the way they were in the past. When you see that, you realize there's nothing about this meal that's critical. If my toddler gets up from the high chair right now and didn't eat a thing, it's okay. They're going to eat tomorrow. They're going to eat tonight. And once we take the pressure off of ourselves, you know, this hour you have to eat, then we can relax and be like, oh, okay, you know what? You didn't eat today. You'll probably eat tomorrow. No big deal.
Okay. So summary point there is don't give up. They won't eat the green beans. Better to let them up than let them know that, hey, if you don't eat green beans, you can then have your Cheerios, your pastry, or whatever else you'll eat. Don't give up. Keep reintroducing green beans and whatever healthy to them. I like it. I'm going to start practicing it. I want to move on to exercise. You know, kids are so sedentary these days, and, you know, the colder weather at winter and the gifts they may have gotten kind of reinforce them doing that, like video games or handheld devices. How do you get your kids to exercise? How do you get them to turn off the screen?
Right. Well, the first thing is to set up limits before you turn on the screen. So, you know, a lot of people have unwrapped some pretty cool boxes over the holiday season with a bunch of electronic devices. That's a good time before the kid, you know, runs away to the room and you don't see him for the rest of the week to say, hey, here are the rules in this house. You've got this great new device. Here are some things we're going to do with it. Here's what we're not going to do with it. We're not going to bring it to meals. You're not going to bring it to bed with you. You're going to have X number of minutes or hours a day, which, you know, you can decide as a family. We at the American Academy of Pediatrics say 2 hours. It's a rough guideline, right, for some kids. It depends what they're doing with it. So you can use that as a jumping off part, but that may be way too much for your family or way too little because your child is researching some amazing scientific discovery with their device. Fantastic.
Never
know.
Or
doing something amazingly creative.
That's true. Okay, that's really great. I like that. So before you even turn on the screen, know how long they're going to play with it, set the limits, and you're going to make it easier when it's time to turn it off. Moving
exactly.
on to just general, you know, making changes happen. You know, it's important to kind of look at the obstacles and see ourselves. We are our kids' role models. How do you help parents look at themselves and the entire family?
You know, the first thing that I ask is, what solution do you think is going to work for your family? People have different schedules. We have great ideas. We'd love you to eat together as a family. We'd love you to exercise together. We'd love you to keep the TV off. You know, these are all wonderful in this ideal impression of what a family might look like, but you got people working second shift, working two jobs, going off to travel team sports for 3 hour practices three times a week. And so the first question I always ask is think about your family. What do you think might work? And the second thing is to talk to families like yours and ask them if they have had successes working exercise or activity into their schedules with a schedule that looks more like yours. One of the coolest things is to do stuff with your kids if you can. They want our attention. Even the teenagers who look like they don't want our attention really actually do. So you can multitask. You can go for a walk and find out what's been going on in your child's world. You can just jump up and down for 5 minutes. Any activity is better than no activity. And a lot of people think, you know, if I can't run a marathon or go to the gym and, you know, become a musclehead, what's the point? The point, I mean, the thing in adult exercise right now is the 7-minute workout, right? Do that. Do 7 minutes of jumping up and down with your kid. That is much better than not doing 7 minutes of jumping up and down. And that we can usually work into our day.
It's so true. It's about being realistic, what we can actually do, and planning around that. And then you're right. If you get an exercise in that you're going for a walk with your child, you're exercising, your child is exercising, you're spending time together, and, you know, it's great for everybody in the family. David, thank you so much. Really appreciate all of your great advice. I'm going to implement it in my own house. This is Dr. Dara. You're listening to Share Care Radio. Thanks for listening, and stay well.